Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jayo Gopijana Vallabha Giri Vuruthadi Jaya Gopijana Vallabha Giri Vuruthadi Yashoda Nandana Prajajana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Prajajana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Gopijana Vallabha Giri Vuruthadi Jaya Gopijana Vallabha Giri Vuruthadi Yashoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jai Om Vishnu Pada Paramahansa Parivrajaka Acharya Ashtotar Srishti Shimaresi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai Kantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Nitai Gaura Premanande Hari Hari Bo Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Agar Shri Assembly Devotee Agar Shri Assembly Devotee Agar Shri Assembly Devotee Agar Shri Shri Guru Gaurango Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 16, Krishna chastises the serpent Kaliya. Today we're reading text number 12 through 16. We'll begin. Text 12, word meanings, Atha, then, Vraje, in Vrindavan, Maha Utpataha, very ominous disturbances. Trividha, of the three varieties, he indeed. There's a typo here. Atidharuna, most fearful, most fearsome. Utpetu, arose, bhuvi, upon the earth. Divi, in the sky. Atmani, in the bodies of living creatures. Asanna, imminent, bhaya, danger. Sangshinaha, announcing. Atavraje mahotpatas. Trividhayati daruna. Utpetur bhuvidivyatmani. Asana bhaya sangshina. Atavraje mahotpatas. Trividhayati dharuna. Utpetur bhuvidivyatmani. Asana bhaya sangshina. Atavraje mahotpatas. Trividhayati atidharuna. Utpetur bhuvidivyatmani. Asana bhaya sangshina. Atavraje mahotpatas. Trividhayati daruna. Upetur bhuvidivyatmani. Asanna bhaya sankhana. Atavraje mahotpatas. Trividhayati daruna. Utpetur bhuvidivyatmani. Asana bhaya sankhana. Please. Atavraje mahopatas. Trividhayati daruna. Utpetur bhuvidivyatmani. Madame Mahaprabhu, they asked me to speak more directly into the microphone, but it's going to be really loud in here, so can you turn it down in here? In the back, they're having trouble hearing. If I speak right into this, it's going to be really loud in here. So, translation. In the Vrindavan area, there then arose all three types of fearful omens, those on the earth, those in the sky, and those in the bodies of living creatures. which announced imminent danger. Purport. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, the omens were as follows. On the earth there were disturbing tremors. In the sky there were meteors falling. And in the bodies of creatures there was shivering, as well as quivering of the left eye and other parts of the body. These omens announce imminent danger. So we'll chant these other verses. You can repeat after me. Tana laksha bayodvigna Gopananda purogama Vinaramina gakrishnam Jyatva chara itum gatam Thar durni matar nidhanam Matva prata matadvida Tat pranastan manaskaste Dukha shoka bayatura Abala vridha vanita Sarvinga priya Nirjagmur Gokula Dina Krishna Darshana Lalasa. Seeing the inauspicious omens, Nanda Maharaj and the other cowherd men were fearful, for they knew that Krishna had gone to herd the cows that day without his elder brother Balaram. Because they had dedicated their minds to Krishna, accepting him as their very life, they were unaware of his great power and opulence. Thus they concluded that the inauspicious omens indicated that he had met with death, and they were overwhelmed with grief, lamentation, and fear. All the inhabitants of Vrindavan, including the children, women, and elderly persons, thought of Krishna just as a cow thinks of her helpless young calf. And thus these poor, suffering people rushed out of the village intent upon finding him. And the last verse for today. Tangstataka turandiksha Bhagavan Madhavo Bala Rahasya Kinchid Novacha Prabhavagyo Nujasyasa. The Supreme Lord Balaram, the master of all transcendental knowledge, smiled and said nothing when he saw the residents of Vrindavan in such distress, since he understood the extraordinary power of his younger brother. Purport. Sri Balaram is the plenary expansion of Lord Krishna and is thus non-different from him. They are in fact the same absolute truth manifest in separate forms. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Lord Balaram was laughing because he thought, Krishna never cares to play with me in my form of Shesha Naga. But now he is playing with this ordinary mundane snake named Kaliya. The question may arise as to why Krishna and Balaram allow their loving devotees to suffer such great anguish during Krishna's temporary imprisonment within the coils of Kaliya. It must be remembered that because the inhabitants of Vrindavan were completely liberated souls, they did not experience material emotions. When they saw their beloved Krishna in apparent danger, their love for him intensified to the highest degree, and thus they merged completely into the ecstasy of love for him. The whole situation has to be seen from the spiritual point of view, or it will not be seen at all. Om Jnanati Mirantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Nivitamena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. The first verse we hear about omens this pastime of the serpent Kaliya. Of course, this is one of the most famous of all Christians' pastimes, very beloved pastime. It's found in different scriptures. Comes up again in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita also. There is described how Krishna performs these pastimes over and over again. And sometimes some of the details change a little bit. One place is described where Krishna was dancing, and he invited the gopis up there and had a rasa dance. He was dancing on the heads of Kaliya. And then in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it's described Krishna was, he put a rope through Kaliya's nose and was riding him like a horse, like a rodeo. So he likes to spice it up and do different kinds of things. So he enjoys, but at this point in the Leela, this is a very frightening time. The residents of Vrindavan, when Krishna went out, we hear, Krishna went out by himself this morning. Balaram didn't go with him, so he's out there with the cowherd boys, and the others are back in the village. And Krishna's out somewhere with his friends. So all of a sudden, they start seeing all these omens, and they're very, very scared. What's going on? Because what do they think automatically? Krishna. They think something must have happened to Krishna, because that's all they think about is Krishna. In the next verse, it says they had dedicated their minds to Krishna. So that's all they think about is Krishna. So if there's something happening in the atmosphere, some bad omens on the earth, on the sky, and in the bodies. Now these are the three kinds, trividha, three kinds of omens. So we're somewhat familiar with omens from other places in the Bhagavatam. One of the notable places is when Arjuna went to Dwarka from Hastinapur after the Battle of Kurukshetra. Krishna was in Dwarka, and then Arjuna went to visit him. He spent 7 months there, and Yudhishthira was waiting for his return. And while he was waiting, he started seeing all these bad signs. You may remember hearing about some of those. The deities were crying. That's one of them. And anyway, there's a whole list of inauspicious things. There's thunder on a clear day. Started hearing thunder in the sky. So many things. So in another time we hear about omens. See, omens, they especially omens we hear about. Of course, they're good omens. We hear about those too. But the bad ones, when Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu were born, they're also bad omens, scaring, implying that something bad was taking place or was going to happen. So here the residents of Vrindavan, they immediately become very fearful because they're seeing these omens. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he raises the question, well, why should there be bad omens? Because the devatas, they're the ones who control these things. They send these omens so the learned at least can understand something's going to happen. In fact, this is the whole science, the whole Vedic science of reading omens. It's like when you walk out of your house in the morning, you know whether to go left or right, depending on which omen you see when you walk out the door. So everything, those people who are expert at reading these signs, they always look for the auspicious things and avoid inauspicious things. So the Brajvasis are very afraid. So the devatas, they're the ones who send these signs. They send these signs. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, well, nothing bad is going to happen to Krishna, so why is he sending these omens that predict something bad? Because nothing bad can happen to Krishna. So he says one reason may be that he was showing the lamentation of the residents of Vrindavan. That was bad, you might say, in a certain sense. And the other was that he wanted to pretend something was bad was going to happen because he wanted to remove any sense of Aishwarya, any sense of thinking, oh, it's okay, nothing's going to happen to Krishna. The devatas were appreciative of the mood of Vrindavan. They were attracted to it. It appealed to them. And they wanted to become involved in the Leela, you might say, so that there was no question about Aishwarya. They sent these omens to make sure the residents of Vrindavan really got scared. So, of course, they did really get scared. So it says here in the next verse, Pan alaksya bhava udvigna. Abhaya Udvigna, Gopa Nandapura Gama, the cowherd men, especially here it says the cowherd men, when they saw these signs, they were agitated by fear. Because, especially because, Vina Ramena Gha Krishnam. Krishna had gone out that day without Balaram to protect him. Because they're always thinking of Krishna, then they always want to make sure he's always being protected. So Krishna didn't go today, so another cause for concern. Balaram didn't go, so another cause for concern. So they're seeing these bad omens and they're thinking, Nidanam Matva. So this is not, Nidanam means destruction or death. Now we, of course, we read these things and we know, of course, it's all joyful, it's all part of Krishna's pastimes. But we have to realize how intense it is for the Brijvasis. We can think of, in our ordinary life, if such a thing were to happen, if a young child, Krishna here is about 6 years old. And everyone is just crazy about Krishna. He's the hero, he's the local hero. It's like today we have, may have a local hero in your town. So everybody's always thinking about this person. Sometimes I think about how I've never known anybody who was famous on a world stage or on a national stage. So maybe you might know someone. Like people are very proud, you know, they have the hometown hero come from Podunk, Nebraska, and they make it as a big Hollywood star or something. They return to town and the whole town comes out. It's a big thing. The son or daughter of the town, everybody wants to claim them because he's theirs. So in Vrindavan, it's just all Krishna. That's all anybody ever talks about is Krishna. He's the center of focus. He's the center of everyone's lives. They'll give up everything for him. The gopis, of course, we were just hearing recently, when Krishna and the cowherd boys are returning from the forest, so everybody is running out to see Krishna when he's coming back from the forest. And we heard especially about how the gopis, they were coming and their eyes were going after Krishna. They felt some shame because naturally they had their chastity. And their, actually Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says that the gopis in their shame, they stayed behind, but their eyes, they said, the hell with the shame, we're going to go. So their eyes went because the eyes thought, well, the ears, they were envious of jealous of the ears because the ears, they got to get the nectar because they could hear without anybody noticing. And the sense of smell also, the sense of smell got to relish Krishna. So the eyes said, well, we're going to relish Krishna too. So the eyes, the gopis stayed behind and the eyes went to Krishna. So that's Vrindavan. Everybody is just looking at Krishna, waiting to see Krishna. As soon as he's gone for a moment, they're in anxiety, worrying about him. So such intense love, and he's just a young boy. And now they're thinking, he may be dead. We can just imagine if we have a child we love so much, a young child, and then we hear, just like now, you hesitate to even say something like this, but if we heard a big explosion, you know, we think the school just blew up over there. So how much would we be so disturbed? You can just imagine. And especially if thought, oh, my child is there. My child is probably dead. So, of course, this is Krishna Leela. We read these things all the time, but we have to imagine the intensity of the feelings of the residents of Vrindavan. How heavy it is for them. They want to die themselves. They faint. They pass out themselves. Of course, this happens in times of intense emotion. If someone gets news, for example, a parent gets news that their child has died, they may just faint right on the spot. The shock is just so much, so heavy. You just can't handle it. So that, of course, the residents of Vrindavan, they feel so much intense separation. Sometimes they just want to die. They're hoping they'll just die. They can't spend, after Krishna leaves from Mathura, then the gopis and everyone in Vrindavan is so, feeling it so much intensely, the separation of Krishna. In the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it says, I forget who says it. I think it's Narada Muni. He's saying something to Krishna, because Krishna, actually no, it's Balaram. Balaram is explaining to Krishna what's going on in Vrindavan. And he says, the residents of Vrindavan, they're unhappy that because you cleared up Kaliya Lake, it's not poisonous anymore. Now they don't have the option of committing suicide by jumping into the lake. In their anguish of separation, they think about killing themselves in Kaliya Rudra, but they can't do that anymore because now it's just a lake of nectar. So this is the intensity of their feeling. They want to die because they actually think that Krishna is dead, that he might be dead. Now the verse began by saying Gopa, the Gopas, the cowherd men, they were bhaya udvigna, they were fearful. But then later it says, the verse makes a point of saying, Abala, bhaya atura, overwhelmed with fear, not only fear, but dukkha. Here dukkha is translated as pain, and shoka, unhappiness. Atura. So overcome with dukkha, shoka, bhaya. Abala means including bala, the children, Bridha, old persons, Vanita, and the ladies. So it's not just the men, it's everybody. Everybody in Vrindavan is completely overwhelmed. And the example that Shukadev Goswami gives here is just like a cow who has lost her calf, the same kind of feeling. Pashu vrittaya, behaving as an affectionate cow does toward her calf. Now we may think, well, when I first read this, I thought, well, doesn't even seem as intense as what they're experiencing because they think he's dead. But one reason we can think that this is appropriate is because for the cow and the calf, there's no intellectual. You might think, well, maybe Krishna's really not dead. That intelligence side might come in. But the cow's not going to think like that. It's pure emotion, you might say. This is, of course, what the residents of Vrindavan are thinking. It's pure emotion. It's pure bhava. It's pure feeling. So they're overwhelmed with that. They're absorbed in that. There's no intellectual side to this going on here. And then finally, the last line of this, and this really says it all, the last line of this section of verses from 13 to 15. So the last line of 15, Krishna darshana lalasa. That should be our motto in life. Krishna darshana lalasa. What is lalasa? Everyone knows what lalasa is. Lalasa mai means eagerness, intense eagerness. For what? Krishna darshan. To see Krishna. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita mati kriyatam yadi kutopi labhyate tattaloyam api. Loyam is also the same thing. Tattaloyam api mula mekalam. Janma koti sukrite na labhyate. This is the definition of Krishna consciousness. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita mati. To have the bhava of Krishna rasa mati in our consciousness. So how do we get that? Lolium or lalasa. Desiring it. We have to desire it. Just like the residents of Vrindavan. How strong is their desire, or eagerness, or anxious? Here is translated as anxious. Sometimes these words are used interchangeably. Eagerness and anxious, or anxiety. Eager. But when there's eagerness, but then there's a kind of fearfulness, then it becomes anxious. So this is the residents of Vrindavan. They're so eager to see Krishna always, but now there's that added element of anxiety. They think he's dead. They're never going to see him again. They're never going to see him again. Their lives are finished. They dedicated their minds to him and their whole lives. Prana, I think prana was mentioned in here too. So he's their life. How can they live? We know in ordinary life this sometimes happens. People, they don't want to live. They lose someone they love. They think, how can I live now? That's my life. My whole life is gone now. It's meaningless. So, of course, we should have that same feeling. How can I live without Krishna? I have to see Krishna. I have to see Krishna at the end of this life. I know Krishna, the residents of Vrindavan are thinking Krishna's dead or may be dead. We should think, I may be dead before I see Krishna. I can't afford that. I should be anxious. that I might die before I see Krishna in this lifetime, or before I'm qualified to for this Krishna darshan. So this is very intense, really, what's going on here. It's very intense. So therefore, we get the next verse where we say, we understand that what happens, of course, Lord Balaram, he smiles. So when Balaram smiles, at least for a moment, all the residents of Vrindavan who are dying, ready to die, and so much intense anxiety, then it's relieved. It just goes away. Because Balaram's smiling, then, well, everything must be okay. Everything must be okay. So, because Balaram is smiling. And why is Balaram smiling? Because, what does it say? Prabhavagya, I think is the Sanskrit. Yes, Prabhavagya. Because he knows Anujasyasa. So this says, he knows the Prabhava of his younger brother. He knows Prabhava here means power. Prabhava means power. Bha, the word bha means goes out. Bhutva, bhutva, praliyate. So energy goes out, emanates. So he knows about the energy that emanates from his younger brother. So Balaram is thinking, there's nothing to worry about. Krishna's not dead. No one's going to hurt him. Some little snake. Is a little snake going to hurt him? What's everybody so concerned about? Huh? So Balaram, at least in this instance, he's not part of the intense anxiety of the residents of Vrindavan, but he's smiling and he's there to ease the situation. Huh? So we see how Krishna is always churning up these different flavors. Huh? And they're all ecstasy. That's what's hard for us to imagine. Even the devotees, of course, devotees read these things, the very advanced devotees, and they start crying too. They read about the pastime, they read about Nanda and the gopas and gopis ready to die and because of their fear of Krishna. And the devotees start crying in ecstasy. They enter into the mood of the whole pastime. So then there's relief. There's like an expert in drama. You get these different rasas, feelings. This is what, of course, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is full of, analyzing this kind of thing. So here we see how it's resolved by the wonderful smile of Lord Balaram. Of course, it will go on. It's not over yet. The Brajbasis, they may somewhat be temporarily relieved, but they go to the shore and they see what's going on, and then they can't believe, what's Krishna doing playing with this? It's not just a little garter snake. It's this horrible monster with all these heads, and he's trying to kill Krishna. And he's got Krishna wrapped up. And anyway, of course, Krishna, he continues, he plays it out. He makes it a real drama. Sometimes it seems like Kali is winning, and then Krishna, of course, ultimately he just subdues him. And there's a very wonderful resolution to the whole thing with the prayers of the Nagapatnis. So this is Krishna's wonderful pastime of Kaliya. So many aspects to it. This is getting a little late. I'll just stop here and read through all these verses again. So anyone like to add something? Any questions? Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you for the nice class. You're saying our goal is to have darshan of Krishna. I don't see this as Prabhupada's mood. Mm-hmm. His mood was don't try to see Krishna. Act in such a way that Krishna sees you. And also there's another purport, Prabhupada's explaining that really if we're trying to make spiritual advancement, this is not the right mood. We're trying to actually serve Krishna.
Yes. Although to say we don't want to see Krishna is, this is a point. In other words, Prabhupada is emphasizing a particular point here. It's not that we just want to see Krishna to enjoy Krishna, but the natural hankering of the soul in purity is to want to see Krishna, obviously. Obviously we want to see Krishna. It's just like saying we don't want to go back to Godhead. Well, of course we want to go back to Godhead. That's where we belong. That's our place. That's our home. But if, especially in our early in Krishna consciousness, if we think of it as, you know, like going to heaven or something, oh boy, I'm going to have so much fun there. I'm going to enjoy there. That's our motive. It's tinged with our material desires. Then that's not right. Or even if it's a kind of desire for liberation. But still, even that's not so bad in the beginning of Krishna consciousness. We should want to get out of this material world. So we should want to see Krishna. If the residents of Vrindavan want to see Krishna, it seems like it's okay for us, too. If it's not a bad desire for them. So in other words, we want to be eager for the stage where we have eagerness to see Krishna. It is right for us to desire to come to that stage. In fact, that's one of the symptoms of advancement in Krishna consciousness, is to have that eagerness to see Krishna, to associate with Krishna, to enter into Krishna's pastimes. So, you know, there is this other side of it where, yeah, it may, in some sense you might say it's a selfish thing, but in the purity of heart, it's not a selfish desire. It's a pure desire. It's the pure natural desire of the soul. So it might say, when Prabhupada would say something like that, it's a word of caution for us. But it's not that we can say, no, I don't want to go back to Godhead. I don't want to see Krishna. I just want to serve Krishna. Of course, in service to Krishna, you see Krishna also. And we're seeing Krishna now, but that darshan and the darshan of the Vrajvasis, not quite on the same level. So we want to attain that level where we really see Krishna. We really do desire to reach that stage of purity.
No, just one more thing. Another purport Prabhupada says that when we're trying to see or serve Krishna, usually we're not getting much realization, but when we're serving Guru, mm-hmm. then we are with Krishna.
Yes, everything goes through the Guru, naturally. Everything starts with the Guru. We can't see Parampara. That's our link. That's our vision. Just like if I take these glasses off, I can't see anything. So the spiritual master is like that. He's not in the way. He enables me. He enables us to see Krishna. So we serve Krishna by serving the Guru, and everything comes from that. Yes. Over there.
You mentioned the transcendental emotions in the spiritual world where someone can faint from hearing something. So here in the material world, it's just a perverted reflection, but even here, imagine the intensity, just something very close to us here. If you drive up Highway 121 before Lake Butler and look on the right, you'll see this area where there's 7 or 8 grave markers, those crosses that they put. There's always flowers out there. What happened, there was a school bus was dropping off the kids, and the big sister was picking up her, like, 4 or 5 siblings, and a truck plowed into them and killed them all. And when the police went and told, they lived with the grandfather, when they told the grandfather, he dropped dead on the spot. His heart just couldn't take it, you know. So imagine. And this is just a perverted reflection down here. It's nothing compared to the spiritual world. So we can't imagine the intensity of the emotions and the feelings in the spiritual world.
So there's a big difference. Over there, separation is what actually sustains life. Mm-hmm. It's so beautiful and it's very relishable. But in material world, the separation intensifies depression and end with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur gave a whole purport on Madhavendra Puri's lamenting for the Lord who departed for Mathura to reside in Mathura. In that sloka, in Chaitanya Bhagavata also, he gave a 2 pages purport very nicely that what is the defect in the material depression or lamentation or hankering. And then he says, at the end, even they become ghost, depressed, you know, commit suicide, ghost. It's like a suffering after suffering after suffering. But then in the spiritual world, this suffering is never actually end. It's never such thing called disappointment. Srila Prabhupada made that very heavily, that there is no such thing called disappointment in the spiritual world. Like even Rukmini, when she was putting Satyabhama in a kind of a closet palace, because she was worried that if Krishna marry her, then or maybe won't be with me all the time. So it was kind of delaying. And then Satyabhama was doing such an extreme separation feeling. So she thought of Kaliya story. She thought, oh, this pond looks like Kaliya. Oh, Kaliya, are you there? Can you come and pick me up? If I cannot marry Krishna, I'll die. And she was crying and crying and crying, came to such an extreme depression. Then Kaliya literally came and wrapped her around her body. And but she's crying so much that her tears cannot see actually what form, shape Kaliya is like. Then she's trying to like wipe it and say, no, let me go. I want you to take me to the pond, not just here. But then she, one time she opened the eye and realized it was Krishna's hand. So that's why Prabhupada translates Krishna's hand is like a snake. So then Krishna told her whole story, what she did every moment, and she was a little embarrassed. And she said, Krishna says, I enjoy this separation feeling, that how much intense love you have. And of course they got married and they had a palace. So like this, there's no intense. But funny thing that you mentioned about Balaram, who knows everything. Srila Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur says, Balaram and Rohini are the two figures that we should see Vrindavan Leela, otherwise we'll be disappointed. Because we may not understand. So Balaram, he's smiling and he's assuring everybody, as you say very nicely. Also, the foolish person, like a Kamsa, Prabhupada writes in Nectar of Devotion, one day he heard this whole big lecture of Akrura with his intimate friends. And Kamsa went there. So Prabhupada writes in the Nectar of Devotion, Kamsa went and he said, Akrura, why you think Krishna is God? He just killed a little watery snake and you just bragging about it that he can be God just killing little watery snake? So that's the funny thing.
That's it.
I was actually just going to say the same thing. I don't think it's appropriate to compare transcendental rasa to mundane rasa. And in fact, when we say it's a perverted reflection, it does not mean that it's more intense in that sense. It means that something that is exalted in the spiritual world is actually extremely degraded in the material world and vice versa. So I don't know if it's appropriate to say that these so-called negative emotions in the spiritual world are actually extreme transformations of bliss. Whereas here in the material world, they're, you know, sources of extreme anxiety. So perverted reflection, actually, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they're actually, it means it's the opposite.
Yeah. Now at least we can understand by way of analogy the intensity of the feeling. But you're right, I was thinking of this verse by in Vrindavan, that attachment, it's ecstasy. And the deeper the attachment, even in what seems like a horrible situation, it just makes the happiness greater. It seems like an extremely sad situation, but it's actually ecstasy. It's increased ecstasy. But like Chanakya Pandit says, nasti raga sumam dukam. There's no misery like raga. So what is that raga? It means material raga. So just like that grandfather who's so attached to his grandchild, that attachment has killed him. It was so heavy. The pain was so heavy. So that is real distress. The source of distress in the material world is detachment. Prahlad Maharaj also makes the same point. In material life, we're always being, we connect with things and we're separated from things. And that gives us so much misery. Dukkha, shoka, agni. Burning in the fire of that, always being separated from things that we love. So that attachment causes misery in the material world, but it's the source of the greatest happiness in the spiritual world. So there's a sort of superficial resemblance between the two, and we get a sense of the intensity, but it means intense suffering in the material world and intense happiness in the spiritual world. So yeah, they're two different things.
So that means everything materially they're suffering, they actually suffer more, they go down.
Right.
I just wanted to say on this, Prabhuji's question was very nice, because we are just recently studying that seven chapter Madhya Lila, 129 verse. That shows in the purport, Prabhupada says that we should work in such a way that Krishna will see us. But then if you go to the next verse, he said, Kobuna badive tumai vishaya taranga punarapi ei thai pave mor sanga. And if you follow this way, then you will see me, get my darshan. So it's a, both are actually one.
Yeah.
We are seeing for Krishna. That's what Prabhupada says in that purport.
Mukunda, let's just take one more quick.
It's really short, actually, addressing Didi's point that comparing Ras, mundane Ras, to transcendental Ras. Actually, even our Rupa Goswami Pad, they took the science of Ras from Natta Sastra, because there was no way to express these feelings in the spiritual world. So Bharat Muni, who was one great sage who wrote Natta Sastra, they had this idea of what is Santaras, Dasiras. Our Goswamis took that and used it as a template to try to give expression to these feelings so we'd have something to comprehend.
Yeah. All right.
Prabhupada says, Bharat Muni will not understand. Mahaprabhu said this, Bharat Muni will not understand. Even though Rupa Goswami took it, that's true. But Bharat Muni will never understand spiritual rasa.
Yeah.
That has to be,
yeah, that was mundane drama.
Yeah.
We just borrowed the template, as I said.
Yeah.
All right, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.